Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I would say anytime an article has the words how to bet dot, dot, dot in it, you know, those three words, like how to bet such and such, how to bet on this team, how to bet on that, I'm going to click on it. I'm a sucker for that kind of thing, and I really like to gamble. CBSSports.com, I think they're doing this for all 32 teams, but when I was just hitting the old Google machine looking for some Texans material yesterday, it popped up how to bet the Houston Texans in 2025. CBSSports.com has the recommendation here on how to take the bets that are out there available for the Texans. You know, they're, I think, 35-1 to win the Super Bowl, 25 or 28-1 to win the AFC. They're the only team in the AFC South where they are favored to actually make the postseason this year. It would be, according to the odds makers, a surprise if any of the other three teams in the AFC South made the postseason. The Texans are set up to do some good things this year. Win total, 9.5. They've got some props for C.J. Stroud. What are the best bets for the Houston Texans this year? We'll get to what they say, and we'll give our opinion on that. But they lay this out, Seth, and I'm curious if we agree or disagree, if you agree or disagree on some of these. Before we get to that, like a couple interesting factoids I was unaware of. Probably had heard this before, but it didn't really pop up for me on my radar. C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans are only the third QB head coach duo ever to win a playoff game in each of their first two seasons. I knew it was rare. I didn't know it was that rare that they're only the third ones to do that. As a QB head coach pairing, win a playoff game in each of their first two seasons in that role. That's impressive. I think sometimes we get caught up here and like they haven't gotten out of the divisional round, and rightfully so. They need to. D'Amico knows that. He said that. But it is an illustration of like, boy, this rebuild did get accelerated pretty quickly from where they were in 2022.
Yeah. Who are the other two?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sure AI probably knows. If I were to AI,
what year was Roethlisberger drafted?
He was. It's not. Well, 2004. I bet it.
Oh no, because Tomlin was 2007.
He was with Cowher.
Tomlin went
for a bit.
That is impressive. Yeah, I always like with stats like that. I always like to know exactly who the other two are because it loses its luster when you know CJ is rookie year. There would always be these things like no quarterbacks other than Tom Brady, Peyton Manning,
and Gardner Minshew.
CJ Stroud and Gardner Minshew have done this.
Gardner Minshew was always the one that spoiled the party on any rookie stats for CJ. I'll try to find it. So I thought that was interesting. And subconsciously I knew this, but the Texans are still the only team to never make a conference title game. It's not that they haven't made it. It's they're the only team that's never made. Granted, they've only had 20 years to accomplish it compared to all these other teams. And I'm like, Cleveland has sucked since they came back into the league. Oh no. Bernie Kosar got them to a couple conference championship games back in the day. Might have gone to a Super Bowl had it not been for Ernest Biner fumbling a football against the Broncos back then.
I'm reading the I'm listening to the Belichick book, The Art of Winning.
Who's reading
it? And I was kind of pleased, yet also a little nervous about the fact that Bill Belichick himself is narrating it. And it's it's not a great book, man. It's
really?
Got good stuff in there, but it's like he's stuck somewhere between trying to be a motivational business book giving advice to business people versus kind of semi autobiography, but not really much like good. There's some good nuggets, but as far as he should have got, I don't think he got a ghostwriter on it. It feels like Bill Belichick.
He wrote it.
It feels like it. If not, the ghostwriter sucks.
How is he as a reader on an audiobook?
He's all right. I mean, there's times where you can tell he's really working to try to be demonstrative or show emotion. It's I'm not crushing it. I'm gonna read the whole thing because there's some really good nuggets in it. But you got to labor to get to the nuggets.
Yep. All right. So this piece talks about reasons to back the Texans and reasons to fade the Texans, bet against them. The reasons to back the Texans that they bring up in this article is one, D'Amico Ryans as a head coach has established a pretty high floor for this team. When you're looking to bet the over-under on wins, the first thing you're looking at probably is, okay, injury can make a team bottom out, but is there a reason other than injury that this team could bottom out, assuming C.J. Stroud stays healthy? And their determination is no. They built a pretty – they filled some of the holes on their roster. D'Amico Ryans has shown himself to be a good coach in close games, which matters between you trying to make that distinction between a 6-win team and a 10-win team. You got to win a lot of close games. Do you agree with that, that D'Amico's established a pretty high floor for this team?
Yeah, I think anytime you have a good defense and no reason to believe that the defense is going to take a step backwards and all of a sudden be a bad defense. Mm-hmm. Anything could happen. You know, maybe they don't produce as many turnovers this year, what have you. But they have a very, very solid defense. So it's hard to suck if you've got a really good defense. Some teams figure it out and find a way, but it's harder.
Second reason to back the Texans, the defense could be elite this year.
Yeah.
Tough to argue that one, against that one.
Yeah, it is. And again, a lot of people point that turnovers are kind of, sometimes there's a little bit of luck involved. But that's more especially when you talk about recovered fumbles, because there is a lot of luck involved in recovering the actual fumble. But they're an opportunistic defense by virtue of having players who are opportunistic.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, like, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has been very, very good at taking the ball away the last couple years. So I would expect them to have a pretty good turnover ratio this year.
Okay, reasons to fade the Texans. Offensive line. That is fair.
They're very fair. Yeah. Very, very fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, there's a lot of the things about right now. I try to be as open as possible about I have no idea about Nick Haley. I'd like to be optimistic about him. I like certain things about his resume. I love the things he talks about. But we just flat out have zero clue whether he's going to be a good offensive coordinator or not. And that filters down to the offensive line. And does he make it simpler and easier for those guys to just go out and play football and have them in the right positions? A lot of the offensive line questions go straight back to, all right, does Nick Haley know what he's doing? Did Caserio get guys that are credible enough to be part of a solid offensive line?
Yep.
So yeah, that's very, very fair.
The other reason to fade the Texans, I don't agree with this. I mean, I guess I agree with the potential of this, but I don't agree that this is how it's going to play out. Here it is. The AFC South has the potential to be better than it's been the last few years, which would give Houston a tougher time banking divisional wins. Houston's three division rivals won 15 games total last year, but their win totals are collectively set at 20.5 this season, with Cam Ward and Travis Hunter joining the party. The Texans were a dead even team in point differential last year, very fair point, which works out to an 8.5 projected win based on their scoring, and with tougher competition, it's not too difficult for this team to slip to the 7-8 win range. All right, you're shaking your head a little bit. Do you agree with his assessment?
Looking at this as objectively as possible, I would just, okay, so PFF, when they grade the actual roster strength, and they do that, I believe, based on just their grades, the grades of the players that are projected starters and what have you. The only one that's in the top 15 in the AFC South is the Texans.
Yeah.
And I want to say the Texans are actually higher than I expected, like 7th or 8th.
You're talking about PFF here, right?
They were
7th on PFF.
7th, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the highest ranked one after them is 20th. And
Colts,
And the Titans are right down near the bottom at 31 or 32. The Jaguars are somewhere like 25th, I believe.
Yeah.
So obviously that can be flawed as well, but I think it's not my opinion of it. That matches the eyeball test. I just don't think those rosters are talented enough that they're going to necessarily be as a group way better than people expect. Even if Cam Ward's a huge X factor.
Yeah.
If Cam Ward ends up really being a revelation rookie of the year type of player, then he can lift up a lot of that roster.
Yeah.
And then likewise with Daniel Jones. Okay, can Daniel Jones, with actually some viable receiving threats, be the best version of himself? But the overall squads just aren't that good.
Yeah. The most important person in the division outside of the Texans from those three other teams to me is Liam Cohen. If Liam Cohen gets the best if he gets a version of Trevor Lawrence that we saw for a period of time in 2022, That's always been the biggest thing for me with the Texans winning the division the last 2 years. You take a look, you know, from the ivory tower and look down, go, okay, what's the biggest threat down here? If somebody can turn Trevor Lawrence into what a number one overall pick is supposed to look like, especially now they added Travis Hunter, they've got Brian Thomas Jr., who you said yesterday might be, you know, he might be the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL because he's operated off the grid in Jacksonville. I mean, they've got some pieces there, you know, enough to,
I think the,
to be a threat.
Liam Cohen did a really good job with the Bucs last year. He took him from near the bottom of a whole bunch of statistical categories and put him up near the top. Like, across the board, pretty much everything major about the offense was better. And most importantly, Baker Mayfield had the most productive season of his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say, oh, Baker Mayfield with these weapons and that, that. Sure, great. That, you know who's got weapons? Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
I mean, in his wide receiving core, depending on how well Travis Hunter does, he's going to have some weaponry there. But I think Baker Mayfield's just, I think he's smarter than Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
I don't know if Trevor Lawrence could just really grasp how to be an NFL quarterback. He does some really impressive things physically at times, but he's still largely thought of as a one-read guy. And it's not like a first-read guy. And it's not like he hasn't had different offensive coordinators try to lift him up above beyond that.
Baker just seems like this version of Baker that we've now gotten in Tampa Bay. Because he has admittedly matured since his Cleveland days. I think getting sent to Carolina and L.A. to be a backup and be an afterthought probably woke him up a little bit. And I think he's matured. He seems like more of a guy that the guys rally around than Trevor Lawrence does. I know they were both number one overall picks, but I think they're both wired and they're certainly outwardly. I think they're very different personalities. Charlie Heck still lives in my building. And I ran into Charlie in the lobby of the building a couple weeks ago, and I don't think I'm putting anything out there that he wouldn't want me to say. He's in Tampa now playing for the Bucs. He had just gotten back from minicamp, and I asked him about Baker. He loves Baker Mayfield, and I don't think it was just platitudes. He really, really loves Baker Mayfield.
I'd be interested to talk to somebody from Cleveland about this. I never had an issue with Baker Mayfield's maturity in Cleveland. He played through. One of the reasons he lost his luster was because he tried to play through a really, really bad shoulder separation in his non-throwing arm, but that affected him. And they did. I mean, they were going into that season. People were arguing about whether he should get his third year extension or not. So I think for some of it with him is just partly bad luck being in the wrong situation and whatever else it might be.
Yeah.
I think that there's a Johnny Manziel effect in Cleveland where I think they're, because Baker's got a little bit of that same brash attitude of Johnny Manziel, that people sometimes conflate those two and they forget, like, oh wait, no, that was Johnny Manziel that never opened up his playbook in Cleveland. It wasn't Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, the other two, thank you to our producer Colin today, in for Ben Gary. The other two.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
First time head coach and rookie quarterbacks to win playoff games in their first two seasons. Chuck Pagano and Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. I think Bruce Arians was in there a little bit as an interim while Chuck Pagano was recovering from cancer. But Chuck Pagano was a head coach in name for sure. And then in 2008 and 2009, Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh. So,
Flacco, where he established himself as a elite quarterback.
Yes. Yes, that's where the seeds were planted. All right, so what did CBS?
It's interesting that those are both defensive or special teams minded head coaches,
non-offensive coaches.
For a rookie to go and win playoff games in his first two seasons. Yeah. People always just, you got to have an offensive-minded head coach to tutor the young fella. I don't know.
Thanks, Cowherd. The plays they recommend on CBSSports.com for the Texans. Not going to like this. Under 9.5 wins. C.J. Stroud under 3,825.5 yards passing. So,
that's gross.
No 4,000-yard passing season for C.J. And under 9.5 wins for the Houston Texans.
What was the specific number? 3,000 what?
3,825.5 passing yards.
So he had 4,108 his rookie year, yep. And then last year, 3,727.
Yeah, so they're probably just, you know, kind of semi-splitting the difference.
I think they're going to be a more well-rounded offense this year, and I think CJ's going to be, I think he's going to be more efficient in terms of just hitting tight ends and hitting running backs.
Yeah.
Especially if Woody Marks is a huge X factor in this. If Woody Marks ends up being effective as a rookie, I think like he might. He's the one that makes it tips me up above. Oh yeah, well 4,000 yards at least. Mm-hmm. Like that should be the over under. But I would take the over on that one.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I think you and I went through the schedule multiple times. I think we were around 11-6 for them, maybe 12-5, something like that. The one point they do make about the schedule, I'm a big schedule person.
Oh yeah, sorry, I was saying taking the over on the yardage.
But, on the yardage for CJ. Sorry about that. Yeah. I would take the over on both of these. Yeah, you're right. So the one point they make about the under with the schedule, and I'm a schedule nerd, so I have to at least entertain this, is that they play the NFC West and the AFC West crossover this year,
yeah.
Which I think quarterback-wise are two of the best divisions in football. I mean, the AFC West is a quarterback gauntlet. Like, Geno Smith is the worst quarterback in the AFC West. Bo Nix was great as a rookie last year. Yeah, he was really good. Justin Herbert, very talented. And then obviously Mahomes is in that division. And then the NFC West, you got Stafford, Purdy, Murray, and Sam Darnold playing for Seattle now. Those are pretty stacked divisions quarterback-wise. And then you got all the travel that goes with it too. You know, like I think this past year, I don't know that they went, you know, east west of the central time zone. You're going to be going back and forth to LA multiple times. Up to Seattle for a Monday night game that starts at 9 o'clock at night Houston time. I think it's an easier schedule in so much as you're not playing the three games in 11 days twice like they were last year. But it is a schedule where you're kind of spanning the United States a little bit more.
I don't know. I guess that list of quarterbacks you read didn't strike fear in my heart like that maybe other divisions might, I suppose. So, I guess if you're that sold on Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert and everybody, sure, Sean. Justin Herbert's operated really well in an offense where they tried to not use Justin Herbert as much as possible. Just like, hey, let's not let Justin Herbert hurt us. Yes.
There's an article, and I've got it in the rundown. I don't have it here, but maybe we can get to it later. They ranked all eight divisions based on the quarterbacks in the division. Yeah. And the AFC West was number one, and the NFC West was number two in that article.
Which version of Sam Darnold did they use? They just cherry-picked last year sure, he'll do that again.
They went by some QB power rankings there on NFL.com and just took the rankings of the quarterbacks and then did the average, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Darnold was like middle of the pack, like 13th or something like that. So, yeah, fair point. They are looking at a better version. I don't think Sam Darnold, outside of Kevin O'Connell being there now, is the 13th best quarterback in the NFL. So that's a very fair point. The AFC South was last in that article. Yeah. They were eighth.
So can the Colts get out of Daniel Jones what the Vikings got out of Sam Darnold?
That's right.
Daniel Jones has been better at this point in his career than Sam Darnold was at the similar point in his career. But
yep.
Still.
All right. I had eyes on the Astros last night. I had eyes on the NBA draft last night. I've got thoughts on the NBA draft that you don't even need to have watched the NBA or watched college basketball to react to. Thoughts on the NBA draft last night, stream of conscious. We'll do that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.